Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David. This is the first apostolic Presbyterian congregation outside the crowd there in the Elgin, Texas. We are still in the waning moments of the Day of Atonement. This is going to be our fourth service in this daylight hour. Our fifth one starting with one we did last night. September the 12th, 2024, is the 10th day of Tishrei. 2028, this is the Day of the Atonement, closing out, and we're going to start our fifth service of this 24-hour day, and this is going to be number three of our tract compilation by Chesson Brunton, entitled The Plan of Salvation Through the New and Living Way, Hebrews 10, 20, and 21. So we're on page 19, and it says, after Yahshua arose, he ascended to the traveling throne and offered the wave sheet offering. It was then he set up the new and living way as shown in the Hebrews 8:1-6. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest, who is sit on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Yahweh pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of the necessity that this man, Yahshua, have somewhat also to offer, for if he were on the earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according unto the law, who, that's the priest on the earth, serve unto the example and shadow of the heavenly things, as a Moses was admonished of the Yahweh, when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, says he, that thou make all things according unto the pattern showed unto thee in the mount. But now hath he, Yahshua, obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon the better promises. From this we see that his crucifixion ended the Old Testament animal sacrificing covenant system and established forever the new and living way system of the salvation in the heavenly sanctuary. For the ordinance of the ceremonial animal sacrifice was the only thing done away with, leaving the rest of the law was still binding. For the disciples kept the Sabbath, observed the Pentecost, the daily, etc. For the daily was the offering of the prayers for the forgiveness of sins committed. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, that I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, this that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He was showing the people they were to keep following the daily confession of the sin in order to be without fault before the people whom they witnessed. Should he have any sin, he could be the cause of someone else sinning and cause them to be lost. He didn't want that on his record. Hebrews 10:10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of the Yahshua Messiah once for all. This will is a promise to sanctify us if we obey the system he set up for us. It is our choice to take hold of it and become holy. Hebrews 9:12, neither by the blood of the goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Okay. The us of pronoun, Paul is speaking of here applies to the ones living then, not unto us today. Well, I'm going to have to beg the difference. Paul is speaking unto everybody in the New Testament from his time on clear down to the end of time. So we're going to have to correct that. Paul said, when he said for us, he's talking about the saints of the New Covenant, that's under the blood of the New Covenant. And we here in the 12th third body tower is under the blood of the New Covenant, of the 12th hour of covenant, of the 12th hour of probationary time. For that I should obtain eternal redemption for the people living in that time, and for the saints that he had died on the day of the atonement. These sins were sprinkled again and blotted out forever by his dying once and resurrection, then going to heaven and make an offering with his own blood, which he sprinkled from the nail prints in his hands. Even then, in the sanctuary, he set up the new and living way for us to follow today. This is the only method plan for the salvation for anyone. When we come before him on the bended knee and offer our prayers and petitions, asking for the forgiveness of our sins, then we become purified, cleansed, and made ready for the day of the atonement, and come away with it, from it with the promised assurance that we have a clean slate for the new year. This is how our names are put in the Lamb's Book of Life. So where did the idea come from that teaches Yahshua died for you and me? Who changed the law for the keeping of the daily and the other holy days and the Levitical law of the Moses? The answer is the Catholic Church. I'll say the answer more directly is the Pope. 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that the Yahshua died for our sins according unto the Scriptures. Okay. Leviticus 4:27-30. And if any one of the common people sin through the ignorance, while he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of the Yahweh concerning things which ought not to be done, and be guilty, verse 28, or if his sin which he hath sinned come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering a kid of the goats, a female without the blemish, for his sin which he hath sinned, verse 29, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering, verse 30, and the priest shall take of the blood thereof with his finger, and put it upon the horns of the altar of the burnt offering. We see the person bringing his offering after he has sinned, not before. It is the same law we are to follow today in our observation or observance of the daily. We are to pray for the sin we have committed, and the Yahshua in the heavenly sanctuary sprinkles his fresh blood in the same manner as is done with the earthly priest. Remember the blueprint given unto Moses was an exact replica of the one in the heavenly sanctuary. Daniel 8:11-14. Yea, he magnified himself even unto the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down, and a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of the transgression, and it cast down the truth of the sanctuary and the daily, the operation of it, to the ground by the Pope of the Catholic Church, and its practice and posture starting in 538 A.D. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of the desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. From this we realize that the daily and the atonement were to have been restored at some time, because Adventists and Sister White did not fully understand its meaning. Therefore, she taught the atonement to be a period of the time from 1844 until the end of the judgment of the dead, but this is not in harmony with the scriptures. Nowhere in the scriptures will you find a teaching to back this statement, for the atonement is a 24-hour literal period of time. Only through the daily can we have the true forgiveness of sin and have them transferred into the heavenly sanctuary, into the first apartment, to wait for the day of the atonement, when they are then blotted out. Does Yahweh overlook or wink at this mistake? He says that he winks at the ignorance until you have knowledge. Then you are responsible to be obedient. Here is a quote from the SDA Bible Dictionary, Volume 8, 242. For the power symbolized by the little horn desolates the sanctuary and halts its regular ritual services. But after a period of the 2,300 days, the sanctuary is cleansed, are restored unto its rightful state. For the additional information is given that the abomination that maketh desolate is substituted for the daily. Since the daily designates the divinely ordained system of the true worship, the power of the Catholic Church, of the Pope, that removes it, stands in the opposition to the Yahweh and his son Yahshua, and the abomination that maketh desolate represents a counterfeit system of the worship. And the Seventh-day Adventist Church has fallen into the trap of this counterfeit system of the worship that they are performing right today in the Adventist churches all over the world, including this one here in Elgin where we are at. For the Catholic Church has a counterfeit system of the worship because they teach a daily confession, taking their wafer, host as they call it, afterwards. They also teach this host actually becomes the body of Yahshua when it is eaten. For the counterfeit system consists also of the pagan holidays, Christmas, Valentine's Day, Easter, St. Patrick's Day, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Sunday, birthdays, Mother's and Father's Days, or any other days that are now holidays set up by our government. For the Catholics take credit for this in the Catholic Catechism. It says, for the new law has its own spirit and its own feast. which have taken the place of those appointed in the law of the Moses. If we would know the days to be observed, we must go to the Catholic Church and not to the Mosaic Law, reprinted in the Signs of the Times, November 4, 1919. Sister White was given this message. I said, "Father, as the word of the Yahweh is walled in with these books and pamphlets, so has Yahweh walled you in with reproof, counsel, warnings, and encouragement. Here you are crying before Yahweh and the anguish of your souls. For more light, I am authorized from Yahweh to tell you that not another ray of the light through the testimony will shine upon your pathway until you make a practical use of the light already given. The Yahweh has walled you about with the light, but you have not appreciated the light. You have trampled upon it. While some have despised the light, others have neglected it or followed it, but indifferently. A few have set their hearts to obey the light which the Yahweh has been pleased to give them." This is 2 Testimony 606 by the Ellen G. White. Revelation 3:14, "And unto the angel..." And this angel replied to Brother Johnson at Kermit, Texas in 2002 at the Passover. Now, Shirk was there at the Passover in Kermit that year, and he was addressing Brother Shirk Johnson as the angel of the candlestick, the seventh candlestick of the Seventh-day Adventist Church of the Laodicean. And he said, "Right, these things said the Amen, the faithful and true witness." Yahshua is this faithful and true witness that is writing this, the beginning of the creation of the Yahweh. For Yahshua is a faithful and a true witness as the beginning of the creation of his Father Yahweh. He is the first creation by the Father. After were created Lucifer and the angel, and all else were created, Yahshua is created from the bowels of the Yahweh, his Father. For the sanctuary system was set up before the foundation of any of the worlds were laid. It was not put into operation until after the fall of the Satan and his angels. Had it not already been in the place when the Satan sinned, he would have been destroyed immediately. Also, when Yahweh told Adam and Eve that they would die in the day they ate of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, they would have died instantly if there had been no remedy for their sin. Genesis 3:21. "Unto Adam also and unto his wife did the Yahweh make coats of the skin and clothe them." This scripture here shows the beginning of the animal sacrifice set up at the garden gate, and it continued until the death of the Yahshua. So now we have the complete picture of the sanctuary system from the beginning of the Adam and Eve, Eve's fall unto the crucifixion of our Savior Yahshua Messiah, then of the setting up of the heavenly sanctuary to operate until the close of the probation by the blood of the Yahshua. Every additional ray of the light that we receive gives us a clearer understanding of the plan of the redemption, which is the working out of the divine will and the salvation of man. For we see new beauty and force in the inspired word, and we study its pages with a deeper and more absorbing interest. Patriarchs and Prophets 367, paragraph 4. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? No, faith by itself can't do anything. But if it's faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, then it can do everything. That's James 2:14. If we say that we can do nothing to be saved, then we are saying the scriptures are wrong, and Yahshua died in vain. This we know is not the case, and we know that the scriptures are true. That yes, Yahweh be true and every man a liar. So man is a liar if he believes that Yahshua did it all for us at the crucifixion, and we can do nothing for ourselves for our salvation. For this teaching cannot be found in the scriptures. We show our faith by our works with the offering of the prayer for the forgiveness of sins. Our overcoming in all things is what brings about the perfection of our character into the righteousness of the Yahshua. Just what are the works that Paul is talking about here in James? Answer. Observing of the daily at the proper time, the seventh day Sabbath, the feast days, observance unto all the commandments, putting away of the idolatry, that's birthday celebrations and Mother's Day and Father's Day celebration and Christmas and Valentine's Day and Easter and all of those, government-made holidays, which are idolatry in our lives, and serving Yahweh with the whole heart, mind, and soul. Abraham believed the Yahweh and was willing to offer his son. Job lost his whole family of the children and all his animals and almost all of his servants. Then his wife told him to curse Yahweh and die, but it was not so with Job. He was a righteous man. James 2:24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Job offered sacrifices for his family while they were merrymaking. This was his works. Without works, we are left destitute and without hope of the salvation. Think about this. If you desire to have salvation, our works are the practicing of the daily and all the feasts of the Yahweh. So when someone tells you that works are wrong, show them that what the scriptures teach about works. James 2:10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in the one point, he is guilty of all. Verse 17. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Faith in what? In the blood of the everlasting covenant. Practicing it at the appointed time that the sanctuary points out. Verse 19. Thou believest that there is one Yahweh, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Okay. Faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by the works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Verse 22. Seest thou how faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? By works was the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, verse 23, which saith, Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was accounted, imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of the Yahweh.
Okay.
So Abraham believed Yahweh and what? He believed Yahweh in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua that was to come in the future. Okay, at number verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant only. Verse 25. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by the works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Okay. Okay, it says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua without works is dead also. These works are not the good deeds done in the trying to justify ourselves, for the Yahshua said, Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Master, Master, shall enter into the kingdom of the heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in the heaven. Verse 22. Many will say unto me in that day, Master, Master, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. But did they really know his name? No, only the saints will know his name. It is not Jesus Christ. His name is Yahshua, and the true name of the Father is Yahweh. Once we know the true names of our Father and his Son, we are responsible to use them if we want prayers answered and blessings on things we want to accomplish. Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. It is our eternal salvation that depends on our obedience and following the plan of the salvation through the new and living way by the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua for our salvation. There is no other way. Psalm 77:13. Thy way, O Yahshua, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a Yahshua as our Yahshua? Psalm 14:6. Yahshua saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father Yahshua but by me. Many are unwilling to accept Yahshua until the whole mystery of the plan of salvation shall be made plain unto them, for they refuse the look of the face and the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, the new and living way. Although they see that thousands have looked and have felt the efficacy of the looking to the crucifixion and resurrection of the Yahshua, many wonder in the mazes of the philosophy and the search of the reasons and evidence which they will never find, while they reject the evidence which the Yahweh has been pleased to give. They refuse to walk in the light of the sun of the righteousness until the reason of his shining shall be explained. All who persist in this course will fail to come unto a knowledge of the truth. Yahweh will never remove every occasion for the doubt, for he gives sufficient evidence on which to base faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of his Son Yahshua, and if this is not accepted, the mind is left in the darkness. If those who were bitten by the serpents had stopped the doubt and question before they would consent to look, they would have perish. It is our duty first to look, and the look of the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, will give us life. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 432. May you read and believe and follow on unto the full salvation of the eternal life. Galatians 1:9. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel or the plan of salvation through faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 19:20, through the new and living way, unto you then that you have received, let him be accursed. Verse 10, for do I now persuade men or Yahweh, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of the Yahshua. Verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel or the preaching of the plan of the salvation, the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, 21, through the new and living way, that is to say, through his blood, which was preached of me, is now after man. Verse 12, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of the Yahshua. This brings the end of our study and our compilation track by the Catherine Brunken. In 2020, she put this compilation together. And so this brings the end of our study. Our contest is just the 11th hour call at number 11. Click on our audio archives with this and more. We'll close now with a song.